Meanwhile, the Knights turn it ahead. Right wing, Carlson shoots and scores! William Carlson, he got the stretch pass on the right wing. Carlson rips home his fourth of the season. Schmidt banks it up the left wing. It's Tuck squeaking through the left wing. He shoots, he scores! Welcome back, Alex Tuck! Here's a centering pass from Glass. Off the man in front, off the right post. Rebound, score! It is banked through by Cody Glass, and the Knights take the lead 3-2. Rolling puck toward Kincaid, chips it away. Pacioretty finds Stone. Left circle, put it in front, score! It caroms home. Knights extend the lead. 4-2 Golden Knights.
And welcome in and good Friday to you. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman in the studio. And a day off after a, well, what? Vegas Golden Knights basically gave away a point last
night. Yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the game?
I thought that Montreal kept on fighting, scratching, and clawing. Vegas had opportunities to extend the lead. They were up 2-4-2. They didn't put it in the back of the net to get a couple insurance goals, or at least one insurance goal. Montreal kept on going, and once Montreal got that third one, you kind of had the feeling that momentum started going for them, and they just never said die. And I hate it when people use cliches like they were hungrier or they wanted it more or something like that, but they seemed to play with more desperation and a little bit more heart out there at the end, and Vegas almost played like, oh no, we can't let this thing get away from us or something.
Is it what Montreal did, or is it what Vegas did?
I think it's a combination.
I think it's more what Vegas did.
I mean, I do think Montreal kept on scratching and clawing and fighting, but it does seem like Vegas, they had the lead, and all of a sudden, I don't know if they played nervous or if they took the foot off the gas too much or played not to lose. We hear that a lot in sports. And what's the old adage? When you play not to lose, frequently you lose. They let Montreal back in the game, and Montreal took advantage of their opportunities and then made a very short overtime.
The Golden Knights were awesome from the first minute of period three right up until a minute and a half before Nate Schmidt took a penalty. I mean, they were great. They were suppressing a lot. They were playing in the offensive zone. They were dominating play down low. They were really, really good for the first 13 minutes of the third period. And then they just abandoned everything that they did over the course of those 13 minutes. All of the goodwill they built up through those 13 minutes, they wasted away in the final seven.
I'm not going to put it all on Vegas because I do think Montreal played with some desperation. Montreal had like six or seven takeaways in the final period. They had as many in the third period as they had the entire game. They were going out. They were aggressively going after it and fighting for it.
Well, Vegas really played into their hands because the Montreal Canadiens are a fast, skilled team. They want to play in transition. And, you know, the Golden Knights, I think they were looking to score too much. And I know that that sounds ridiculous in a game in which you have four goals, you're up by two with a little bit of time left to go. I think trying to find guys' goals was their undoing. Trying to find a goal for Max Pacioretty. Trying to find a play that didn't work because you're trying to put this one away 5-2 is really what allowed Montreal to get back into this game, because all of those chances were either defended, either resulted in a turnover, or shots missed the net, and then what ended up happening? The Montreal Canadiens were able to turn the corner and get into transition.
I want to touch on one thing that you said there that I think did think was very interesting. I want to remind people, though, or let them know, that we do have tickets for the Winnipeg game tomorrow night. We'll give those away during the show here today as well. But when you mentioned that they were looking for Max Pacioretty, when they had that two-goal lead, did they maybe get a little too comfortable? Did they start thinking about, well, you know what? It'd be nice if Max got his 500th point here by scoring a goal against his former team. And instead of playing the team game, maybe they were thinking a little bit more individual.
Well, no, because Pacioretty got that assist on the Stone goal. So he already
had his 500. Yeah, he had it. Yeah, yep. Okay. Well, but, obviously, because they had four goals. So.
Yeah, but no.
But it would have been nice to get him a goal in the game against his team as well, it seems.
I think it's more about getting Max Pacioretty going in terms of putting the puck in the back of the net. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Pacioretty's start this year with the Golden Knights. He's been fantastic. He has 10 assists. He's been very, very good. But for Max Pacioretty, you want to see the puck going in off of his stick more often than not. And it's just not going right now. I think the Golden Knights were looking for him and forcing plays. And when you force plays like that, you leave yourself susceptible on the defensive end. And that's what ended up happening. If the Golden Knights would have been content to play with the same type of intensity, but to get pucks in deep and to not try to force cross-ice passes and to just manage the puck better and play deep, deep down in the Montreal zone, this would have been a 4-2 win. This would have been a 4-2 win, but it never happened. Like, that change in philosophy of how to close the game out never really happened.
You know, another thing that seemed to happen during the course of the game, we talked about Kincaid in net going into it. He was 0-1-1 going into the game, was giving up 4.54 goals a game, so about 4.5 a game. So he was actually about right where he normally is. He seemed a little bit shaky at the start, but as they had a chance to win and as the game went on, he seemed to get better.
I thought he was good throughout a majority of the game. I don't know that he was necessarily not sharp early on. I just don't think he was tested very much early in the game. And at least the shots that did get through there a lot were from the outside. I mean, he gave up some rebounds. I don't know that he was lights out. I don't think that he played the best game in the world top to bottom. But, I mean, he made the saves he needed to make. He kept his team in there. He gave him a chance to win. It probably could have been 8. You know, the Golden Knights probably could have scored 8 with the type of chances that they had. Kincaid made some really big saves. And he's done that against the Golden Knights in his career. He played really well against Vegas last year as a member of the New Jersey Devils. And that is a team that does not play with the same type of defensive structure that the Montreal Canadiens do. So, you know, sometimes goalies are just able to play well against a certain team. And I think Keith Kincaid plays well against the Golden Knights.
One thing that seemed to me was a bit uncharacteristic. And you look at the stats, and sometimes stats tell a story. Sometimes they can be a little bit misleading. What did you think about Vegas with the 10 giveaways last night? Because that's very uncharacteristic. And that's not a ton of giveaways necessarily.
Is it, though? Is it uncharacteristic?
Well, it seems like
it's usually uncharacteristic of them this year.
Okay, let me put, when they're playing good, it's uncharacteristic. They generally win that turnover battle. Last night, they give the puck away 10 times. Montreal only 4 times. Takeaways, I understand. That's aggressive. That you get. They won that takeaway battle, but again, they lost it in the third period.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it? Are we at a point right now in the season where we can start saying that the Golden Knights not managing the puck is characteristic of this team? Because I feel like more often than not, we're talking about how the Golden Knights aren't managing the puck as well as they'd like to, or as well as they should. So are we measuring what this team should be doing against what the teams have done in the past? But this is actually an accurate representation of what this team is. Like, are the Golden Knights this year a team that is prone to turning the puck over and not managing it well?
And that is a fair question. And I know yesterday when we had EJ Raddick on from NHL Network, brought up the fact of, we've said it a couple times, we're a month into the season now. It's still early, but it's not so early that you can't start telling stuff. Is maybe this team not as good as we thought? Or is it just finding a consistency level and getting them to play night in and night out? We talked to it almost every time they lose, it comes back to the same stuff. They didn't play a full 60 minutes. They didn't play fast enough. They lost concentration. They had some ebbs and flows. And you're going to have ebbs and flows. No one's going to play a perfect 60-minute game. And then they play a game that they look outstanding, like the Anaheim game. And you go, well, that's all they need to do every night. But it's hard to do that every night over 82 games. And they did get a point last night, so it's not like the sky is falling and they got nothing out of it. But it definitely seems like they left a point that was available and gave it away.
Okay, here's the deal. And I want to go back to something that you just said about, is this team maybe not as good as we think they are? Or are they just maybe not as good as they should be? If you go to moneypuck.com and you look up the top lines in the NHL based on expected goals. And I know I'm going to piss off a lot of people because expected goals don't translate, or they're not exactly actual goals. And I understand that, and that's fine, whatever. But expected goals do give you an idea of who's controlling play, who's generating scoring chances versus how many scoring chances are being you're giving up at the same time. And it gives you an idea of just how good the Golden Knights should be. They have two of the top four lines, and ahead of them is a defenseman. So of the actual top, there's four spots. The Golden Knights are 3 and 4. Pacioretty, Stastny, Stone, Marchessault, Carlson, Smith. Expected goals for Pacioretty, Stastny, Stone percentage is 64.6% of the time. Marchessault, Carlson, Smith is 64.2% of the time. Brad Hunt is ahead of them, and Keller, Stepan, and Kessel is number one with 66% of expected goal shares. So here's the thing. They're good. This is a better than a couple games above 500 team, period. They just are.
Well, they certainly should be.
No, they are.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they're at in the standings right now. This is a team that should probably win 2 to 3 games for every one that they lose. That's how good they are. They are top heavy. I'll give you that. Although Alex Tuck being back in the lineup should help them. Nate Schmidt being back in the lineup should help them. But they are better than they have been this year. And the problems that they're having are self-inflicted. The issues that they have nothing to do with talent. It has nothing to do with anything outside of making better decisions as a five-man unit, night in and night out. And they're not doing it. They're not changing it. And that's the problem right now with the Golden Knights is they have to stop shooting themselves in the foot. They have to stop letting games get away from them that they should win, because they'll make the playoffs. But if they're playing this inconsistently, then it's going to be a problem. It's not going to end well for the Golden Knights. They are too good of a team to be this inconsistent.
I agree with that. One thing that certainly was a bright spot last night, well, two things. Nate Schmidt and Alex Tuck returned to the lineup. I thought they both played fairly well. Alex Tuck.
Who was better?
Well, Alex Tuck got the number two star of the game, but I thought Nate Schmidt looked sensational.
I think he was okay. He had moments where he looked like Nate Schmidt, but he also had moments where... I mean, let's be honest. Nate Schmidt and Braden McNabb are on the ice when Jonathan Drouin is left all alone for lunch and dinner and a cup of coffee in front of Marc-Andre Fleury. And then Braden McNabb tries to get back and ends up putting the puck in the back of the net. That's not a play that those two should be making. I thought Nate Schmidt was able to get to pucks on time. I think that, again, maybe his forwards weren't in the places he wanted them to be in order to get passes out of the zone. But, you know, Nate Schmidt takes that penalty late in the game. That's kind of the turning point in that loss. I thought Nate was okay, not great.
Yeah. No, I guess I would agree with that. As soon as I said it, I started thinking, and then you mentioned that stuff. And yeah, I mean, you're right. I thought he played good at times, but he didn't look like Nate Schmidt sometimes. Do you think that's a situation of rust from not playing a while? Is he still just coming back from the injury? Because I expect both of them, and I do think Alex Tuck had a solid game. And again, he kind of got that third line rolling, which is something that we were hoping was going to happen when he entered the lineup. Do you expect better performances from both of them on Saturday?
Yes. With Nate, I wonder how much of it has to do with getting that first bit of game contact. Because I think coming back from an injury is a little bit different than coming back from a suspension. Last year, we saw Nate come back from the suspension, and he was fine. He was playing without any real fear. He was making quick decisions. He was initiating contact and letting contact come to him. And I just wonder if the idea of getting hit or having that first real bit of contact in an NHL game was maybe in the back of his mind a little bit, and it forced him into making some decisions that maybe he wouldn't ordinarily have made if he wasn't necessarily thinking about that in the back of his mind.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Winnipeg coming up. The team right now is 4-3-1 at home, 8-5-1 overall. uncharacteristic for them. In fact, just a couple days ago when we were talking to Coach Gerard Gallant, and it was mentioned that they hadn't lost more than four games at home for the first part of the calendar season, 2018 going into 2019, and he jokingly said, well, good, that means we only got one more loss coming, and everybody kind of laughed. Is there a difference playing on home ice right now, or is the difference strictly the fact that they're just not doing what they need to do?
I don't think it has anything to do really with where they're playing, if it's home, on the road. Maybe there's a little bit of a difference in terms of preparation on the road. I think, you know, we talked to Riley Smith earlier this week. He talked about road trips and just essentially said, you know, it's business, and we understand it's business. You look at it as a business trip, and maybe it's a little bit different. You've got a lot of things going on right now, especially this time of year, where all of these guys are humans. They have families. They have other things that they're focused on, not just hockey. And I know it's hard as a fan to really wrap your mind around that, but they're not machines. So other things creep in, especially around this time of year. So maybe there's a little bit of a focus issue in terms of playing at home versus playing on the road because you're free of all those distractions. Sometimes it can be distracting to be home. It can be. But no, I think that everything that's going on right now with the Golden Knights is preventable by them just going out and making better decisions, quicker decisions, safer decisions, and playing as a five-man unit. I think it'll come, especially now that you've got two of your better puck movers back in the lineup in Schmidt and Tuck. But it has to. Like, it has to start to click soon because you get into that situation where American Thanksgiving is coming up very quickly. Traditionally, where you're at by Thanksgiving determines greatly where you're going to be at the end of the season. You can't necessarily lose your spot right now, but you can go a long way to making sure that you're one of the teams that gets to play for the Stanley Cup in April. So you can't continue to shoot yourself in the foot by making the same mistakes game in and game out. And I'm sorry, you have to take the consistency and the momentum that you gained from beating Anaheim as handily as you did, and you had to roll that into dispatching Montreal. You had to, and you didn't. So now you go back to the drawing board against a team in Winnipeg that has really good offense and very suspect defense. The Golden Knights should be able to forecheck this team into the boards every single time they're on the ice. The Golden Knights should also be able to put a lot of high-quality chances on Connor Hellebuyck or Laurent Brossoit, whoever ends up getting the start. We'll know more today as to who's going to start tomorrow based on who Winnipeg plays tonight against San Jose. And look to that game tonight to give you an indication of just how tired or how energized Winnipeg might be tomorrow. If San Jose goes out there and lays a dud and it's an easy game for Winnipeg, their legs might get tired in the third period excuse kind of goes out the window.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Once again, we have tickets for that Winnipeg game on Saturday coming up a little bit later on in the show. You mentioned we're flipping the calendar over. It is now November. Thanksgiving month coming up, October over, 8-5-1. Not a terrible record, but not necessarily the record that the Golden Knights wanted. Seven games at home in November, seven games on the road in November. Winnipeg Saturday, then four on the road, then the Blackhawks at home, then the Kings, then another four-game homestand. So kind of spread up a little bit here and there. There are two back-to-backs during this month. They will both be in different cities. Looking at the schedule, without looking at all the teams and that, I mean, there's some quality opponents. There's some games that you look at that Vegas should win. The four-game homestand that's coming up has three of the four teams from the Pacific Division. What are you looking for in November? What are you hoping for in November? And what's acceptable for November? Or is it too early to tell because there's just a lot of things can happen in the next 30 days?
Yeah, it's impossible for me to say what they should be. I mean, obviously, they should be over 500 for the month. So that's number one. Right.
But, I mean, over 500, they were for October. They were three games over it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're well, technically they're three games over 500, but essentially they're two, right? They're 8-6.
Like, yeah. It almost feels like 2.5 or something like that because of the, you know, the loser point or whatever you want to call it. So,
yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Their road trip coming up: Columbus, Toronto, Washington, Detroit. Obviously, you look at Detroit as a winnable or should be winnable game. I think you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, and while they're tenacious and a little bit annoying to play against, that should be a game that the Golden Knights, if they're Stanley Cup contenders, should win. Toronto has not been playing very well. They're probably going to have John Tavares back. Jake Muzzin is probably going to be back as well. So the Maple Leafs are going to be a tough team. They're one of those teams that are very much a team that relies on upfront skill and not so much playing sound defensive hockey. So for the Golden Knights, it could be a good game for them. That's a winnable game for sure. And the same thing, like, they're all winnable games, but I think they've got to go better than 500 on the road. Like, that's what I'm looking for. You play Winnipeg, get yourself a win, get yourself some good feelings going on the road, and go out and dominate the road trip. That's what I'd like to see them do, because then you kind of lay the foundation. You don't have you get back from Detroit, you have 2 days, then you play Chicago, then you have 2 days, then you got LA and Calgary. Calgary's struggling. LA is not an NHL team. So, like, legitimately, I think they should be able to win 4 or 5 of their first 7 games of the month.
That week of the 10th through the 16th should, on paper, theoretically, be a great week for them. Detroit, then Chicago at home, then LA. They should sweep that week.
They should. But the question is, are they going to play consistently enough to do it?
Yeah. The other thing that I would like to see on this upcoming road trip is, they were 2-1 on the last road trip, but they were 2-1 because Marc-Andre Fleury played absolutely out of his mind. They've got to hit the road with more offensive firepower, and they've got to put the puck in the back of the net. You can't count on Marc-Andre Fleury being that good every game, or you're really going to wear him down. And then the other question that I want to pose to you is, we're getting close to a break here, but Malcolm Subban is back. He's healthy. Obviously, he didn't play last night. Nate Schmidt and Alex Tuck did, but all three came back at the same time. How much do you think we see of Malcolm this upcoming month?
Well, you know that you're at least going to see him twice, right? Like, he's
the back-to-backs,
he's either going to play one of Washington or Detroit, and he's either going to play one of LA or Calgary. And you know, that's just kind of where you can see it fitting in right now. As far as outside of that, every other game is with a day of rest in between or more. So I think it kind of depends on where the Golden Knights are in terms of where they're at in the standings and how they're doing earlier on in the month. Like, if they do what they need to do and they take care of, you know, Winnipeg and Columbus and Toronto and Washington, Detroit and Chicago and LA, then I think maybe you see Malcolm Subban a little bit more than just twice this month. But right now, I think it's probably twice and that's it.
No, I agree. I mean, that's what it kind of looks like, because it is spread out enough. Even though they're playing every other day, that still gives Fleury a day of rest. And again, that week of the 10th through the 16th, they play a game, they have 2 days off. They play a game, they have 2 days off. So there is some breaks coming up there. So we will see what happens. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the Winnipeg game on Saturday. We're also going to give away those tickets for Saturday's game and look at maybe a couple other things going around the NHL as well. And don't forget, Saturday night over at T-Mobile Arena, they will be celebrating the Day of the Dead, so there's going to be face painting, all sorts of stuff for the kids, and I guess adults in that too.
Dia de los Muertos, or as they're saying it, Dia de Muertos. But
right, or Day of the Dead. Well, I said it last night when I did my read.
Day of the Dead is Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, okay. And it's actually a 3-day celebration, I heard?
Yes, yes.
So it should be Days of the Dead.
Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, I believe.
All right, back with lots more. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. Vegas Golden Knights losing the game to Montreal last night 5-4 in overtime. They get another crack at it tomorrow night over at T-Mobile Arena. 6:30 pregame show, 7 p.m. game time. That's when we'll turn it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless. You can join Ryan and me once again up in Hyde Lounge getting ready for the action. Before we look ahead to the Winnipeg game, time for our check of the game. Check of the game brought to you by Inspirity for employee benefits and full-service HR support. Visit Inspirity.com. And in last night's game, the hitting was actually in favor when all was said and done. Montreal, a little bit more aggressive in that third period, out-hitting the Vegas Golden Knights 39-38. So those are your stats for the Czechs. Compliments of Inspirity.com and the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. All right, Tom, now let's look ahead to tomorrow's game. Keys to the game brought to you by Honda North. Ryan, what is the key to Vegas winning tomorrow outside of just getting back to doing what they do best and playing what we call Golden Knights hockey? That pretty much it. It sums it up in a nutshell, right?
Just
do what you're capable of. And again, when they're successful, they say it all the time, all they need to worry about, and you do have to worry about what the other team does and who the players are, and you got to be cognizant of who's on the ice for different teams. Obviously, when Scheifele's on the line with Connor and some of the other talented players they have, you have to pay special attention to them. But basically, do what they do, and things should go well.
Well, what do the Golden Knights do? Because I'm asking you, honestly, to look at this team through the first bit of game so far this season. What is Golden Knights hockey?
To me, when they're playing their best and when they're playing winning hockey, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing aggressive. They're forechecking hard, which I know you're always talking about. They're doing crisp passes. They're not afraid to dump it in to enter the zone. Sometimes they get too cute. Skating it across and setting something up is great when you can, but if the other team's going to stand you up, then sometimes you're better off dumping and chasing. Just doing the smart play and playing intelligent, playing the full 200-foot game, and I know it all sounds like cliches in that, but also playing fast. Finishing your checks and playing as close to 60 minutes of hockey as you can. It seems like sometimes they get a point where a guy or two takes a shift off. And I'm not saying that you got to play completely 100% out every single game, every single shift, because that's impossible. But you've got to be more judicious and cognizant of when you're taking a little bit of breather and when you're not. And sometimes they get a little bit sloppy. Last night I thought in the game they got sloppy with the giveaways. And if you do that and you leave the goalies out to hang, Marc-Andre Fleury is a great goaltender, and he saved them a lot of times this year. But eventually there's so much talent in this league. Some guys are going to beat you.
I don't know what Golden Knights hockey is supposed to look like so far this season. Like, I know what the idea of Golden Knights hockey is. Like, I understand how this team wants to play. The problem is I haven't seen it consistently enough to say, well, they just need to go out there and play their game. Because I think on any given night, their game is something completely different and not necessarily what you're expecting it to be. So for me, it starts with communication up and down the ice. It starts with a five-man unit. It starts with playing fast, and it starts with forechecking. Like, those are the things that I do understand lead directly to winning hockey games, but I need to see it consistently. And you can't get it for one or two games and then have it be missing for one or two games. It's never going to be completely there all the time. And I understand that, and I'm not asking for perfection. But what I am asking for is for those aspects of the game not to completely fall off from one game to the other. And that's all I want, I guess, is for the Golden Knights to play consistent hockey from game to game, period to period, shift to shift.
Right. And again, it sounds like a simple thing to do, but it's not, because it is 82 games. But they've got to be more consistent. If they're as good a team as they think they are, as we think they are, and as, quite honestly, they should be.
I mean, we know they are. We know they're really good.
Yeah.
Offensively, this team should be scoring a lot of goals. We know how good their top six is. We know. Now with Alex Tuch and Cody Glass seeming to have a bit of chemistry, kind of in spite of Cody Eakin at times last night, they were able to put the puck in the back of the net. You get some regular contributions there, you're good to go. Nate Schmidt makes your defense better. It didn't necessarily work out in their favor last night, but it will over time. I mean, this is a good hockey team.
Do you expect any changes?
And
if not, and it doesn't necessarily have to be personnel, maybe just a pairing difference.
Maybe. I mean, Merrill and Holden worked pretty well together. Englund and Theodore have played together in the past. The only problem with Englund and Theodore is that you put Shea back on the left side instead of keeping him on the right side. And I think you want Shea on the right side because it allows him to jump into the play a little bit easier. I honestly sit here and I think to myself that this is where you start to manage the load of Derek Englund. And it might not be a super popular opinion amongst fans, and it might not necessarily be something that a lot of people agree with me with, or maybe you do. I don't know. It's possible. But
it might not be something that Derek Englund necessarily wants, but sometimes he's got to do what's best for the team.
Clearly doesn't want to be taken out of the lineup. Right. Like, he wants to play. That's fine. But the question I pose is, we know what Derek does very, very well, better than any defenseman for the Golden Knights. It's kill penalties. And that would be great if you killed penalties for 60 minutes a night. But you don't.
No. And if you did, you'd be a very losing hockey team.
But the majority of hockey is played at 5-on-5. At 5-on-5, he has not been that good so far. So how do you fix that? Maybe you sit him for a game or two. And maybe you don't do it under the pretense that you're sitting him to sit him. But load management's very real. Like, we saw it happen last year in basketball, and it ended up winning a team a championship. I think that you can say, listen, Derek, you're a big part of our team. We want you to be playing your best hockey come playoff time. We're going to limit you to 55, 60 games. We're going to rotate in some of the young guys. Because right now, if that's not in the plans, if it's not in the cards, I don't think Bischoff's going to play. I don't think Haig's going to play. I don't think Whitecloud's going to play. Coughlin's not going to play. Like, those guys aren't going to get to play because Holden's been better than Englund. He shouldn't come out of the lineup. Merrill's been better than Englund. Shouldn't come out of the lineup. So the question is, are you going to play any of your young rookie defensemen? Because if you're not, then, you know, I think you're looking at the six defensemen that the Golden Knights are going to have through the majority of the season, barring any injuries.
Do you think anything changes on the offense? I know you mentioned that you thought that Lass and Tuck had a little bit of chemistry there. Cody Eakin had a great year last year. He's been a big part of this team. Do you change anything up anywhere? Do you look at a Nick Waugh again? Or do you say, you know what, these are our guys. We love our top six, but we also think that the bottom six is gelling, and we know that there's some talent there. Do you roll with that until an injury or something forces you not to?
I mean, you know the answer to this question. We did our lineups a couple days ago.
Right.
I would love to see Will Carrier get a shot with Cody Glass and Alex Tuck. Cody Glass is your center. And then you put Cody Eakin on the fourth line as your center, and you play Noshik on the left and Ryan Reeves on the right. Like, that's what I'd like to see. Now, I'm not Gerard Gallant. I don't coach in the NHL. It's very easy for me to say, I want to see this because I think it could work. If Gerard Gallant's going to do that, he has to know it's going to work. Because the stakes for Gerard Gallant are much higher than the stakes are for me.
Absolutely.
If I say, yeah, I want to see this, and then Gallant ends up doing it, and it's awful, then I'm just like, well, you know, what do I know?
Well,
I'm just a guy on the radio.
I guess it didn't work.
Right. But, you know, there's a lot at stake. And I don't know that I necessarily blame Gallant for not really changing much of anything. I don't know that I necessarily blame him for being loyal to some of the guys that he's been to war with over the past couple of seasons. Cody Eakin is one of them. But
it's tough to not blame somebody for going with what they know, the known commodity.
Exactly. So at some point you have to maybe make a change or two that is a little bit uncomfortable, but that you think could make you better. And I don't think those changes are going to come until Gerard Gallant is completely convinced that making that move is going to be what's best for the team. I don't think he's there yet. Like, I still think he looks at Cody Eakin and sees him as a value to Cody Glass and Alex Tuck. And we saw one game of it. Maybe you give him a couple of games. That's fine. Whatever you want to do. But I'm of the belief that Cody Glass is only going to play to his potential if he's a center. And right now you have too many centers on this team.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We have those tickets for Winnipeg tomorrow coming up shortly. Let's take a look at some of the other stuff that is going around in the league as well, because, of course, we're the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, but we do look at the other stuff. And the month of October is over. And we have our three stars of the month and our rookie of the month. Rookie of the month, Victor Olofsson. 6 goals, 4 assists, 10 points for Buffalo. Buffalo in some people's mind, a surprise team. In other people's mind, maybe a surprise that it took this long for this to become the team that we now see this year. And we'll see if that continues throughout the season. The three stars of the month, John Carlson, David Pastrnak, Leon Draisaitl.
No surprises. I mean, those three guys have been insane throughout the first month of the NHL season. Pastrnak, I think, is averaging 2 points a game, which works itself out to 164 points. And then you like wrap your mind around the idea that Wayne Gretzky scored over 200 one year or a couple times in his career. And it's astronomical. It's insane. John Carlson has been phenomenal at putting the puck in the back of the net for the Washington Capitals from the blue line. And Leon Draisaitl is maybe the better hockey player right now between him and Connor McDavid. And I say that.
And James Neal has really been the beneficiary of playing with those guys.
And I say that about Draisaitl because I think he's 100%. When I look at Connor McDavid, I still think that he's maybe like 87%, 88%. Like, I don't think Connor McDavid is full on 100% from his injury that he suffered at the end of last season. So, imagine how good Connor's going to be once he really is at full strength.
So Leon Draisaitl is 100% depth player.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
All right. Thought I'd throw that in there for you.
I know you listen to Lizzo. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I don't. I noticed your wife sent me some kind of clip of her or something like that today.
Yeah, did you see her playing the flute?
I have not seen it yet, but I saw that she sent me something.
That's ridiculous.
I haven't had a chance yet.
Come on.
I was doing show prep, man. Then we had our first Friday lunch.
Please.
Those things you got to do around here.
All I'm hearing right now are excuses.
Sometimes
you're 100% that excuse maker.
Sometimes excuses are also reasons, my friend. We mentioned Tampa Bay and Buffalo a little bit. Victor Olofsson, of course, being the rookie of the month. They're going to be heading over to Stockholm to play in Friday and Saturday, November 8th and 9th. Victor Hedman will be out tonight for Tampa Bay. They're hoping that he's ready for the trip to Sweden. Certainly the country of Sweden's hoping to see him as well. What do you think about Hedman's injury? What do you think about Tampa Bay's start up to this point? A lot of people saying that's a disappointing team. But again, early in the season, folks, this is a team that's won President's Trophies, and it hasn't necessarily meant that they had success in the playoffs. And what do you think about these games overseas during the season? I kind of get them at the start of the season when you can kind of, okay, you do that, then you come over, you get a little bit of rest. Although, boy, for the Blackhawks, it hasn't worked out at all. They've been horrible. But what do you think about this, playing regular season games during now that the season's underway?
Hate it. Hate it.
It doesn't really make sense. I mean, it's cool for Sweden that they get to see the NHL players, but to me it seems like something that should either be done in the preseason or the very start of the season if you're going to do it at all.
Here's my issue, and I'm going to be very curious to watch the Buffalo Sabres after this trip. They have been phenomenal. They're 9-2-2, 20 points in their first 13 games, just playing really well. They're going to go overseas. Everything about their daily routine is going to get disrupted. They're going to have to deal with crazy, ridiculous changes in the time zones right in the middle of the season. And then they're going to have to come back and try to figure out how to readjust. It's not fair.
I agree. I understand broadening the sport. I don't get this during the season.
It's not like other sports. It's not like football where you have a week between games, sometimes 10 days. Granted, if you play on Sunday and you play on Thursday, that's a shortened week. But still, it's not like you can get a couple of days to reacclimate your body to this new time zone and go out there and be okay. You play tons of games. Recovery is so important. And I'm sorry, I don't care if it's a 1 hour flight or a 15-hour flight, or a 20-hour flight. You're just not the same after a flight. Just not the same at all. And then you make it that long of a flight? Like, I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And if the Buffalo Sabres come back and they don't look like the same team and they struggle, I would look at that road trip as a major reason why And it's unfair because they're finally off to the start that we expected. They're finally looking like a team that's going to turn that corner and be somewhat competitive and possibly challenge for a playoff spot. And then they've got this stupid monkey wrench thrown into the middle of their season when they're playing their best hockey. And then they're just going to be expected to pick right back up and continue it? It's stupid.
No, I agree.
And if you're going to do it, every team should go. Every single team in the NHL should have to go so that it's fair across the board. Because it's not fair to the Buffalo Sabres, it's not fair to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's not fair to, I want to say it was Chicago and Philadelphia,
yep,
right?
At the start of the season.
It's not fair to those four teams.
And at least when they did it before. That was their first game of the season. I don't like that either, but at least that kind of makes more sense to me.
Well, Philadelphia is struggling too. 5-5-1.
Oh yeah, they definitely are.
Carter Hart has been atrocious. You don't think that might have something to do with it?
Well, the Blackhawks, and again, I get it. The Blackhawks aren't very good. They played the one game over there, and then came home and played seven games, and they won like two of them.
Yeah, I'm saying
on home ice in one of the most historically successful home ice advantages in the league.
It's dumb to do it at all. Like, I understand growing the game. Like, I'm not going to be that close-minded. You want to do it, that's fine. Have it done as an exhibition early in the preseason. If you want to do it then. But I don't understand. Or it's the first weekend of the season. You have those guys go across. You have them play 5 days before everything else kicks off. You make it the face-off series or whatever. That's how they used to do it. And then those teams were able to come back, reacclimate, get a couple of days off before the actual regular season started, and that's how it was actually fair. This is garbage. Going in the middle of the season is ridiculous.
No, I agree. And at least the one advantage that they have even over Chicago and Philly, they're playing each other back-to-back nights in Stockholm. Chicago and Philly both played in other cities, then met in Prague and played their game. So it's just, I don't get it. Again, I understand growing the sport. We're up against the clock here. We need to give away some tickets. What number say you for Winnipeg? That's a big sigh.
Yeah, this is really tough. But I'm going to go with number 13.
Number 13.
I'm going with 13 because of Teemu Selänne.
All right. 702-876-1340, 702-876-13, that's the call-in number, 40. Back to wrap it up next. On a serious note about a guy that you probably haven't thought about this season because you haven't seen him this season, Philadelphia Flyer forward Nolan Patrick. What's been going on with him? We'll tell you that to wrap it up here on a Friday. Caller 13, 702-876-1340. Good luck. Wrapping it up next, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Congratulations to David. David's going to the game against Winnipeg tomorrow night. I know I said going into the break we had some news about Nolan Patrick, but we got some other breaking news. You've probably seen it out if you've been checking out social media. If not, we will let you know right now. Yes, it is true. Garrett Sparks has been called up from the Chicago Wolves on an emergency basis. Marc-Andre Fleury did not practice today. However, Coach Gerard Gallant said it was a maintenance day. Malcolm Subban was on the ice. So as we get more information, we'll pass it along. Tune into the pregame show tomorrow at 6:30. Whatever we find out, we will pass along to you.
Has me a little concerned.
I think it's got everybody concerned.
That Marc-Andre Fleury, win or loss, usually is available to the media. He did not speak to the media last night.
A couple of people have told me, too. It's like, yeah, he stormed off the ice. And I thought he stormed off the ice because he was mad because they lost. Hopefully he didn't storm off the ice because he felt a tweak or something's hurt as well. And we don't want to speculate.
Yeah, never.
But
never,
yes, but when you hear somebody called up on an emergency basis, and, of course, with the social media era we're in today, people are going to overreact. Or are they overreacting?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll find out tomorrow. Because I think if we see Malcolm Subban starting and Garrett Sparks as the backup, maybe you do worry a little bit.
Well, I mean, if you see Sparks and Subban as the two goalies tomorrow.
Yeah, and we'll know tomorrow morning probably at morning skate. Yeah,
you have to be concerned going into this four-game road trip. After tomorrow against Winnipeg, it's a four-game road trip.
And they are some difficult games on that road trip.
Yeah.
Not easy.
No, Columbus, Washington, I mean,
all teams playing well.
Detroit's the so-called easy one, and that's on the second of a back-to-back.
Yeah, so I don't know. Gets a team that's given you trouble in the past.
Yeah, no doubt. So we will keep you abreast of that. Thanks for listening. Congratulations once again to David. And if you are at T-Mobile tomorrow, remember, it's Day of the Dead. They're celebrating that tomorrow night.
And celebrating Give Frank a Hug.
And they're celebrating Don't Give Frank a Hug. Just because he was almost dead. That was a year ago. Water under the bridge. All right, that's going to do it for us. JT the Brick off today. We'll talk to you Saturday. We'll be up in Hyde Lounge if you want to stop by and say hi. Or knuckle bash. Or if you see Chris Chapman or Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, by all means, give them hugs. They love them. Thanks for listening. Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.